නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස So we were discussing Upakkilesa Sutta, sorry, Vattupama Sutta, which is available in the Majjhima Nikaya, and it covers actually certain defilements which are originating from three roots, three unwholesome roots, what we call as Lobha Dosa Moha, greed, hatred and delusion. Now actually immediately can understand certain defilements because of their gravity, because of their gross nature, but on the other hand there are certain other defilements, it is quite difficult to understand, and therefore sometimes we keep them, we entertain them, we even delight with them, but ultimately they do a real harm to our mind. So basically Buddha therefore give a fair account of information related to certain defilements, and in this particular sutta, Vattupama Sutta, Buddha has given 16 defilements which are capable of doing some harm to our mind. So basically in the list we already have gone through a fair amount. Now we have come to the end of that list. We already discussed 14 defilements, starting with covetousness and unrighteous greed. Then we went on to ill will, then anger, resentment, contempt, insolence, envy, avarice, deceit, fraud, obstinacy, rivalry, conceit and arrogance. So these are the ones actually we have discussed already, and today we hope to discuss the other two, and if possible we will see how we can further continue the sutta. Now when it comes to the 15th one, it is called Madhu, mother. So it is translated as vanity. So the idea is due to various reasons sometimes we get kind of deluded, and very much like we get assumed, and there are many reasons for that. And for example, there are many examples actually given. Let me go through few of them, then you will understand. One is called Jati Mother. Say suppose that there is a kind of a nationality which is fairly recognized in the world and probably have a very good lineage coming from many generations, and probably currently the very powerful nation in the whole world. So likewise there may be certain nations which are highlighted, they have a very good history, or they are the most powerful nation currently, or maybe they are economically powerful. So likewise there are situations a particular nation is highlighted, or a particular nation is currently dominating the world. Then if we are born to that nation, probably then we also get some sort of a conceit, some sort of a vanity based on that nationality. So that is called Jati Mother, and that actually has come through our birth. Now say for example during the Buddha's time there are certain very gifted, privileged kind of caste. So they are called say Kshatriya and then Brahmana. So they are the fairly gifted, fairly privileged certain caste. On the other hand there are others like Vaishya, Shudra. So they are not very much recognized. If someone is born to a very high caste, then probably he may get very much delighted with it. He may get certainly kind of infatuated with it. So that is very much what we call as Jati Mother. And then Gotta Mother, so that is also somewhat related to that. So we have a kind of a lineage, Gotta, Gotra. So coming from a particular lineage, so our say father is like this, grandfather is like this, great grandfather is like that, So likewise, we have a kind of a clan. So that clan is a respectable clan, and as a result of that, we too can have that sort of a mother. And then there are another one called Arogya mother. So that is where suppose that you are quite healthy, while others are all subjected to various illnesses, you recognize that your body is fairly healthy, you very rarely get sick, while the others are frequently get sick. Now say for example, during the COVID situation, say many people got sick, they got the COVID infected. But there may be certain others who are capable of avoiding that, not subjected to that. Now you can have some sort of a conceit, because you are able to maintain a healthy body. So this health also is a kind of a reason to be really behave like you are a indispensable type of person. What we call as the Arogya mother. Then Yobbana mother. So that is where one is quite young and with lot of vigor and capable, and while others are maybe aged and maybe weak, while you are quite young and quite capable and you are really gifted and you are with lot of vigor, so that is called Yobbana mother. So as a result of those say conducive environment or favorable situation, so one's mind can become somewhat infatuated. So you are in that sense very much bewildered by that kind of a situation. Then what is called Jivita mother. So sometimes you feel that you are living, you are somehow surviving, while others are going through various troubles, you are somehow surviving. It's quite challenging situation, but you know that you are somehow surviving. So you are living. So even this can be a cause of having that kind of infatuation in the mind. Then what is called as Labha mother. Now say you're getting a lot of a profit. You are running a certain business, and while others are going through certain bankruptcy and all these difficulties, say you got a real profit, maybe through share market or through maybe some other ways and means, somehow you are able to survive, you are getting fair amount of profit, and even that lab, that gains, so those gains can be a reason to have that kind of a mindset where now you feel like, okay, I am the boss, I am quite gifted, I am more surpassing than the others. So likewise, you can have such kind of a situation in the mind. Then what we call as a Sakkara mother, that is where others are respecting you, others are always going after you and coming behind you, asking various questions, and say they always coming and helping you and serving you. So likewise, you are being venerated, you are being respected. Always you are being supported, and then you can have a kind of a situation, okay, the mind become really trapped in that, so you always start looking forward to that, you always expecting that, and you think you are the say unsurpassed person. So likewise, the mind can become again kind of deluded, kind of trapped in that situation. Then there are what is called as Garukara mother, Purekkara mother. So that is also quite similar, where you are given the first seat, or you are always given the most prominent place. So you are the VIP, and you are being respected. So these are very much similar as we explained just now. So all these venerations, all these gains, fames, all can lead to a mind which is infatuated in that kind of a situation. So now mind is somewhat trapped in it. So you are assumed now. So you are very much like being in that situation. So that what we call as the becoming, has very much implemented. Now you have become that. You have become a particular person. You have become a certain situation. So the mind is trapped in it, deluded by that. Then what we call as Parivaramada, where you have a lot of followers. Always, whenever you are going, okay, a fair crowd is coming behind you. And always they are participating to your sessions, maybe. Say there's a certain crowd, followers, coming behind you. On such situation, that particular person can become somewhat addicted in a way to that kind of situation. So this this kind of a mentality actually leads to conceit. Actually, there's a fair relationship, very close relationship to conceit because of this favorable situation. And the more than the conceit here, what is highlighted is that the mind is trapped in that situation. Mind always expects that, mind take it for granted, and mind is trapped there. And then bhogamada, that is where the wealth, say you did some sort of investment in a certain kind of cultivation, and it was quite successful, and you got a lot of wealth, and you have enough money now. While others are going through many difficulties, somehow you have used your, say, intelligence or your strategies, and somehow you were successful. So that very success, what you have gained, what the wealth, can lead to that sort of an infatuation. And then vannamada. Say you are quite pretty, while others are not that beautiful, you feel that you are quite pretty. Say you are invited to various contests, and among others, many are approaching you. Among others, you are the ones always the center of the focus, because you are quite beautiful, attractive. So that can be another reason for how the mind can become trapped in it. And again, it can lead to conceit. So the mind is somewhat colored by that situation, and you take it for granted. And now you always think, okay, I am the best, I am the most prettiest, I am the most beautiful person. And the Patibhana Sutamada, that is where the learned. So you are well educated, you have several degrees, and while others are simply your followers or simply your students, so you are quite educated, a well-learned person, Bahusuta. So when that is available, it can also become a type of a mother, where you being sort of trapped in it, and you being fairly conceited by that, and always you feel that, okay, I am the best, I am the first, I am the most educated person, and the most learned person. So that kind of a mentality can arise in the mind. Then Patibhanamada, that is also quite similar to there, where you have a lot of skills, and in a very difficult situation you know how to overcome that. When there are certain rivalry ideas are coming from the other side, you know how to tackle them. And say you are leading a particular team, a particular department, a particular role, and at that time you know how to handle all the other ideas coming from various others, and you know how to overcome certain obstacles. So you feel now you are a talented person. You may be a talented person, but assuming that and keeping that in the mind, making a person out of that, developing some kind of a personality around that. Now actually, these are sometimes we promote in today's economic terms, in today's kind of a society where the individualism is quite promoted. As an individual, I have to be kind of highlighted. As an individual, I have to be promoted. As an individual, I am a special person. So likewise, as an individual, so that I have to be quite assumed. So that is something that the society is promoting. But unfortunately, that is where the Sakkaya Ditti is growing. The personality view is now growing, and we assume that there is a person here. This particular person is well educated, this particular person is renowned, this particular person is quite gifted, and I am quite healthy, or I am the one being respected, I am the one being venerated. So likewise, so this person that we are building, this personality that we are growing, actually prepares the mind into a very deluded state. And then Rattanyu. So this Rattanyu is something actually very, somewhat related to the monkhood. Say when the monkhood is slowly growing, so they are accumulating many vassa, many years, they are being counted, and now you are being given the first place, first in the row, and you feel you are the elderly monk, you are the eldest monk. So likewise, as we are growing in the sasana, in the monkhood, so this elderly person, elderly in the sense he has ordained some time back, got the higher ordination also some time back, and now he has been venerated and he has many followers, he has many devotees, he has many students. So now he can have that taken for granted. So it can be a reason for assuming. And Pindapathika Madhu, and actually that is common even in the, say, in the lay people. Now, when they are being more experienced, while others are your students, say you are now leading the department and you are the most experienced person, others are coming and asking various questions from you because you are the most experienced person. So on such situation, even though you are a lay person, still the same situation can happen. Pindapathika Madho actually, again, quite limited to the monks, while all others are simply staying at the monastery and surviving with the food taken to the monastery. Certain other monks are participating in village Pindapatha, and probably they may have inclined towards certain austere practices. So that can have a kind of an impact in one's mind. So now you feel you are a more special person. While others are maybe lazy, they simply stay at the monastery, they can't go out. So they are not much into the, say, Patipada. So I am the one following that ancient tradition. I am the one strengthening that tradition. So I am the Pindapathaka monk. I am the person going through the arms round. So this kind of a situation, even though all these are quite good things, but if we are not handling it carefully, so even these austere practices can lead to a mind with kind of a delusion. And Anavanyata Madhu. Say others are never blaming you. Others are always praising you. Others, I mean, they can't find even the slightest mistake in you. So you are a good person. And as a result of that, feeling that you are a really good person, and you are a person that never being criticized. You are a person never being blamed by others, condemned by others. So even that can become a kind of a trap in our mind. So we, even through that wholesome, even through that most righteous situation, we can prepare a self. We can prepare an individual. We can prepare a personality. And we get trapped in that. And we can understand, I mean, these are very subtle things. Actually, we as individuals, we have to be very good people, we have to follow the precepts, we have to maintain the wholesome aspects, that is true. But when we are doing that, are we preparing a self? Are we making a self? Do I want to be highlighted through my policies? Do I expecting kind of a reverence, respect, recognition through my practice? All these are certain very subtle, say, defilements operating in our mind. Even though I am doing something good, there may be certain underneath currents, traps available and promoting and taking me into those traps. And on the other hand, Buddha mentioned Iriyapatamadu, where all, say, when you are considering your body, so you are quite gifted and there are no kind of deformations, no defects. The body is quite, say, beautiful, balanced, and when you are walking, you are appearing quite decent. While sitting, standing, lying down, see, all these postures representing a fairly a good personality. So now that also can become a reason even to develop conceit and even to develop a kind of a personality view, individualism. So all these things are there. Now, further, it comes as Iddhimadu. Now, if one is psychologically very high, say one is practicing certain practices, some say spiritual practices, and as a result of that, probably one even has certain psychic powers. Now, these psychic powers can also lead to a type of conceit, and kind of you feel that you are a special person, and now your mind get trapped in it. Your mind being fairly kind of colored by that. Yasamadu, and you are a reputed person. There's a fairly high reputation around you. So all others know you. Wherever you go, you are being recognized. Oh, you are so and so. You are quite reputed. Very good reputation is spreading about yourself. On such situation, you are a special person now, and you take it for granted, and you think that reputation is available every time. It will last forever. And now that reputation can be a situation where the mind get trapped. So your mind is colored by that. Mind become conditioned by that reputation. So now you want to behave in a kind of a certain manner so that you want to protect that reputation. You want to even develop that reputation, and you want to grow that reputation. And probably you may be comparing that reputation with another reputed person. So many, many other traps are there. And then the Silamadu, say where you are kind of a moral person, you are a virtuous person, that very morality could be a reason to have conceit, have kind of a colored mind, conditioned mind, because you know that the others are not that virtuous. Others don't care much about the precepts, others don't care much about the morality, but you are a person who is more considerate about the rules, about the, say, the moral principles, ethics. So, I mean, all these are very good things. All these are something that we need to promote. But when we are promoting morality, when we are developing morality, are we simply keep it to that self, or are we making it to, are we using it to prepare a person? Are we using it to develop a kind of a special person? So, am I being always wanting to highlight it based on my morality? Am I expecting that kind of a reverence from others? Am I expecting that others to know that I am a moral person? So that indicates then I am trapped in the morality. Then Arohamad, Parinahamad, so that is, and Santanamad. Now these are again very much related to the body, where you are having a very handsome body, a fairly healthy body, and maybe your shape of the body is quite interesting, and others are quite attracted to that because of the shape of the body. And all these are other areas with respect to the physical appearance that one can have in one's mind. So likewise, there are all these different either physical or mental type of situations. They all are quite favorable, they all are representing some positive aspects, but unfortunately our mind can get trapped in them. Our mind get start assuming in that I am so and so, I am so and so. So likewise, a personality view being promoted when we are unknowingly or without mindfulness when we are handling them. So these are something that all people are sort of wanting, or all people are going after. And when we know that I am gifted in a particular area, okay, while others are still struggling to achieve it, I am already have achieved it. Now I feel, okay, now I am the person. I am the most gifted person. I am the most beautiful person. So likewise, there are many areas that, as we discussed, now all these color the mind, all these condition the mind, all these in a way trap the mind. Ultimately, we prepare our own framework, we prepare our own box, our own cell, and we are in ultimately trapped in that cell. So it's a kind of a mind-made cell. We ourselves have created that. And we being locked in that, and we now can't see the outside. Now, in general, there are different types of mother, and that is what we have discussed to some extent. And then the last one is called pamada, what we call as the negligence. Now, in the negligence, so in the typical meaning is that you neglect the important things. So you are giving wrong priorities. And what is necessary to be done, you keep postponing, and you don't think that is important, and you may be given prominence to some trivial things. Those are not that useful, but the important things you being neglecting, keep neglecting. So that is the pamada. So it's it is now equated to the mindfulness, because when one is mindful, you can't be pamada, you can't be negligent. Every time your mind is quite diligent instead of negligent. So the pamada, in that sense, is a kind of a general term for all the kinds of unwholesome states. Because whenever the mind is trapped in the unwholesome state, so you being negligent, you being deluded. Now, so we have covered all these different defilements, and as we discussed, certain defilements are uprooted when one becomes a Sotapanna, and certain others are uprooted when one becomes a Sakadagami, Anagami. So likewise, there are certain variations available among these defilements. Say for example, now the ones that we discussed today. So they are fairly related to the subtle defilements, and particularly the conceit is available even till one becomes an arahant. So till one becomes an arahant, one may not be able to overcome that. So, and even the mother. So we have discussed different varieties of mother, what we call the vanity, and those are also available till one becomes an arahant. So that's why those are very, very subtle defilements, and we don't even know that they are operating. So that's why they are available till one becomes an arahant. But on the other hand, pamada is something that one become negligent, one become neglectful, one's mind time to time become trapped. So that is said being eliminated when one becomes a non-returner. So likewise, these defilements we can categorize into areas depending on the attainments. Certain ones can be eliminated when one becomes a stream winner. Certain others can be categorized, they are being abandoned when one becomes a non-returner, and the remaining ones will be eliminated only when one becomes an arahant. Now, in this particular sutta, so Buddha mentioned that knowing that these defilements are defilements, imperfections, so one keep abandoning them. So one keep recognizing them, understanding them, and then keep abandoning them. So that is kind of a common procedure that we need to follow for all the defilements. So that is a very similar approach that we have to take. We have to recognize, we need to understand that this particular defilement is available, operating right now in my mind. And then, rather than being trapped in it, rather than being deluded by that, now we need to abandon that. Now, when one is developing like that, one can become even a non-returner. So that's an interesting part mentioned regarding to that. So if one become a non-returner, so then Buddha mentioned a particular skill or kind of a privilege that the non-returner monk may have. So he is now not afraid of the typical sense pleasures even. Because he know even though beautiful sights are there, even though beautiful sounds are there, smells, tastes, tangibles are there, he know that he will never get trapped in them. He will never get driven by them. He will never get dragged into that direction. So therefore Buddha mentioned bhikkhus, if a bhikkhu of such virtue, such a state and such wisdom eats alms fruit consisting of choice hill rice along with various sauces and curries, even that will be no obstacle for him. Now in those days terms Buddha mentioned, so whatever even the tasty food this particular monk is partaking, it won't be an hindrance for him. But for the others, it could be a hindrance. So they start being greedy of that. They start wishing for that. They might even be conceited by that. But when one becomes a non-returner, so his mind is completely free from the sensual desire. Typical worldly type of desires. So as a result of that, he is not being affected by these kind of luxuries. And now, in order to further develop his mind, now Buddha mentioned, as a non-returner, now he is developing compassion, altruistic joy, loving kindness, and equanimity. Now that means, so he is further developing his mind. Now, when one becomes a non-returner, his mind is fairly capable, free from the gross type of defilements, but still he is developing certain positive aspects. He abides pervading the mind into all different directions with loving kindness, with compassion, with altruistic joy, with equanimity. So that means he is further strengthening his mind, the positive aspects of the mind. So these are actually what we call as the Brahma Viharas, the divine type of abodes. So one slowly uplifting one's mind. Now the defilements are far away because loving kindness is there, compassion is there, altruistic joy is there, equanimity is there. So the defilements become more and more far away. And his mind is now fairly capable, fairly pure, and he is now maintaining that as much as possible. Now, in that sense, Buddha mentioned, he recognized or he understand there is this, there is the inferior, there is the superior, and beyond there is an escape from this whole field of perception. Now, this is actually the Four Noble Truths. So he understands, okay, there is suffering, there is the reason of suffering or the cause of suffering, there is a freedom of suffering, and there is a path leading to the cessation of suffering. Now, it is not that he he didn't knew that, but rather now he is more and more understanding that more deeply. So the Four Noble Truths being further and further understood. And then Buddha mentioned, as he continues the practice, so his mind get liberated from all the sensual desires, and that means the kamasava, and then the bhavasava and the avijjasava. So all the asavas, all the influxes are now being abandoned, and he becomes a completely liberated person, an arahant. Now when Buddha completed the sort of discourse, so in the crowd there is one person called Sundarika Bharadwaja. Actually, the Buddha ends this discourse connecting it to a kind of a bathing. I think the bathing, right? So this Buddha mentioned, now this is a kind of a bath that he is having, kind of an internal bath. So why Buddha hinted that? So that is because there is one person called Sundarika Bharadwaja. So he used to go to what you call this Bahuka River. So Bahuka is one of the rivers in India. So this particular person, this Sundarika Bharadwaja, is used to go to this Bahuka River, and he is having a bath there. And he think having a bath leads to purification. So after the whole discourse, Buddha simply connected the whole discourse into a kind of a bathing, where he mentioned, so this is a kind of an internal kind of bath. And now Sundarika Bharadwaja, he asks a question. Now on that occasion, Brahmin Sundarika Bharadwaja was sitting not far from the Blessed One. Then he said to the Blessed One, but does Master Gotama go to the Bahuka River to bath? So from Buddha, now this Bharadwaja is asking a question. Now then Buddha is asking, why Brahmin go to the Bahuka River? What can the Bahuka River do? Then he is answering, Master Gotama, the Bahuka River is held by many to give liberation. It is held by many to give merit. And many wash away their evil actions in the Bahuka River. Now this is his wrong understanding. Now he is explaining that his behavior, his belief. Now then Buddha mentioned through the sansas, Bahuka and Adhikaka, Gaya and Sundarika too, Payaga and Sarasati, and these are the different names of various rivers, and the stream Bahumati, a fool may there forever bath, yet will not purify the dark deeds. So even though you are there for days, but there is no purification by that deeds. Because you know it's quite obvious, by simply having a bath, you can't purify the mind. Probably you can wash off your dirt, the dirt in the body, but not the dirt available in the mind. So then, further Buddha mentioned, what can the Sundarika bring to pass? What the Payaga, what the Bahuka? They cannot purify an evil doer, a man who has done cruel and brutal deeds. One pure in heart has evermore the feast of spring, the holy day. On fair in act, one pure in heart brings his virtue to perfection. So that is by the proper practice, one is now purify oneself. It is here, Brahmin, that you should bath, to make yourself a refuge for all beings. And if you speak no falsehood, nor work harm for living beings, nor take what is offered not, with faith and free from avarice, what need for you to go to Gaya? For any well will be your Gaya. Now very interesting. So Buddha mentioned even a well can become your Gaya. Even a well can become can be considered as a river, but because the it is not that the water purifying you, rather the practice is purifying you. Now the well behavior, proper conduct, proper say practice is the one working as a kind of a purification process. And then actually once this is mentioned, this Sundarika Bharadwaja was quite delighted, and he was quite interested of Buddha's teaching, and he start praising the Buddha, telling that he understood the teaching and he is really sort of satisfied with it, and now he is asking going forth, I would receive the full ordination, full admission. So now Buddha agreed. So the Sundarika Bharadwaja was admitted to the order, admitted to the Sangha order, and then he became a monk. He became high ordained, and he start practicing, and ultimately he also become an arahant. So that is the end of the sutta, where ultimately it ends up with Sundarika Bharadwaja coming to the order, ordaining as a monk, and practicing later, and becoming arahant. So we can see very interesting passages. We are starting with the simile of the cloth, and then systematically going through some gross kind of defilements, and that being uprooted by the stream entry, and after that once having unwavering type of faith on the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and later he further cleanse his mind with other defilements, and then one becomes a non-returner. Now one is not afraid of any other luxurious or sensual stuff, because his mind is completely free from the attraction towards those sense pleasures. And later he further develop his mind with the divine abodes, further strengthening his mind into the positive side. He further continues his practice, and then one becomes an arahant. So this is the end of the sutta, where 16 defilements are explained, and there are subtle aspects are being discussed. And with that, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session, and that ends actually the series of sessions that we conducted under Vattupama Sutta, the 7th sermon, 7th sutta available in Majjhima Nikaya. And now I like to open the session for questions.
You may submit them via the chat, or you may also raise your hand.
A question? Yeah. Okay, we have a question coming from this side. Yeah.
I wanted to ask a question about, differences between personality view and conceit, which is, I think, mana and pali.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about how a person, I think you're talking about how a person at the first stage of awakening, they abandon Sakkaya Ditti, mm-hmm. personality view, mm-hmm. but they can still have mana conceit until they're fully enlightened.
Correct.
So, I suppose, what are the, main differences, if you know, between mana conceit and Sakkaya Ditti, personality view?
Correct.
Because I think one of the, if I'm not mistaken, one of the characteristics of personality view is like not knowing what's wrong and immoral, like not like fully understanding what's wrong and immoral, like, you know, like depriving another being of life, you know, people believing that it's okay, you know, that's like mm-hmm. Sakkaya Ditti, and they have like doubt about, you know, what's moral and immoral, and if you would clarify something.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that is coming under the wrong rituals, observances, mm-hmm. what we call as the Silabbata Paramasa. So thinking that wrong practices, rituals will lead to the liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also being abandoned when one becomes a stream winner. But the Sakkaya Ditti is very much where we think there is a person in the body.
Mm-hmm.
This whole body belongs to me, and this is my body, and
mm-hmm.
I am here. I am in this body.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, when I'm going through certain feelings, okay, I am suffering, I am quite happy. So I am taking these feelings as a person. And sometimes, okay, I have my learned information, certain signs, certain perceptions. I'm time to time having this various knowledge gathered so far. I take that as, okay, this is I am. And I have done various activities, okay, my actions are there. I am thinking a particular way and doing something. Now all these thinking, all these actions, either bodily, verbally, mentally, all these, say, creativity, and all these things also can represent, okay, this is I am. And maybe I am watching through my eyes, ears, nose, tongue, so likewise all these faculties are helping to communicate with the outside world. So when I am using those faculties, so then I get the perception that, okay, this is I am. So this is some gross level of Sakkaya Ditti, where the personality view, so that very body, we identify this whole body. It is not we are dividing into pieces or to parts, but rather this whole body. I believe that there is a person in that body. So in that feelings, in that perceptions. So likewise, so that is where the Sakkaya Ditti is coming. So it is more gross in a way. But the Sotapanna level, so that is being somewhat, we can say, eliminated, uprooted or penetrated. And now you understand, okay, there is no person in the body. Body is nothing but flesh and all these different body parts. And there is nothing in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, there is nothing in the feelings. Feelings are coming and going. I can't maintain the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So likewise, you understand, okay, feelings are not a person.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, the perceptions also, you understand, okay, perceptions are also not a person. And your creativity, your intentions, so they also change and you understand, okay, that is also not the person. And then through eyes, ears, nose, I am communicating with the outside world and that is also not a person. So that is an understanding you develop
mm-hmm.
through the proper observation, through the cultivation of mindfulness, wisdom. And that is how slowly the Sakkaya Ditti is abandoned. But still, you still feel that I am living. There is somewhere still I am. You see, even though you logically and to some extent practically, to some extent experientially, you understood that individually these aggregates are not a person, but cumulatively you have a kind of feeling that I am still living, I am the one talking, I am the one listening, I am the one watching. So there is a feeling of I is there, some sense of I is still there. So that is what we call as the conceit I am or asmimana. That is very, very subtle. So it is not like what we said, that we have the wrong belief, okay, this body has a person, body has a self. So it is not gross like that. But kind of a feeling that, okay, I am living, I am here. So that's kind of very, very slight sense of I. So that is what we call as the asimana. That is the one being abandoned when one becomes an arahant. So it is more subtler than the Sakkaya Ditti. Sakkaya Ditti is where kind of a gross wrong understanding, thinking in the body there is a person, in the feelings there is a person, in the perceptions there is a person, in the intentions there is a person, or in the handling of various faculties there is a person.
So I guess, Bhante, with that, that comes, you know, that Sakkaya Ditti you were talking about, that I am, there's a person in the body, the feelings, all this. So I guess with that, correct me if I'm wrong, that would lead someone to more or less not kind of really like understand what is moral and immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they would be kind of like attached to sensual pleasures in that way, or that... I guess that Sakaya Ditya, you know, the feeling of there's a person in this body, these feelings, all that stuff, and not, you know, understanding that they're all anicca, dukkha, and anatta.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but then would that be something that would lead the person to kind of have, you know, doubt over what is immoral and moral, like, you know, believe that it's okay to do immoral things?
Can.
Like breaking the precepts and all that.
It's also possible. I mean, if you are believing that this body is mine, this body is a person and all these things, and probably you can even go to a kind of a thing, okay, after the end of the body, this is gone. You can come to a kind of annihilation kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, you can think, okay, I mean, this body, on the other hand, say you believe that the consciousness is the body, sorry, the self, or the feelings are the self. So likewise, if you are attributing the self into that, the mental parts, probably you can get the wrong idea. Okay, even after the death of the body, I am continuing. That is also possible. So the personality view can be sort of navigated into various other directions, other wrong beliefs. By the way, I mean, even the conceit I am is also so subtle. Still, I mean, I can't say that one may go to a wrong view, by the way. If one is completely abandoned the Sakkaya Ditti, so that means he is now well established in the proper view, correct view. So he understood, okay, there is no person, there is no individual in the body, there is no individual in the feelings, there is no individual in the perception. So likewise, he is now fairly understood very well about the proper situation.
Yeah.
But still that feeling I am, the conceit I am, the sense of I am, also, even though it is available, it's a matter of further strengthening one's practice. So ultimately, that very subtle sense of I am also being slowly faded off.
Okay.
So it is therefore just there is no any kind of a special practice recommended to eliminate the sense of I am. Rather, the same practice what we are doing in the Vipassana. So that very very practice when you are continuing for a long time, slowly that sense of I am being taper off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to invite Priya for the next question.
Yes.
Bhante, you know, it's still quite a bit of inner chatting going in my mind. And but less analytical comparing to before, and I am most of the time I'm aware of what I'm thinking, and but sometimes I can't stop it. It's going. So because you mentioned Vitakka Santana Sutta, I went back and re-listened to it, and it was like I felt like I'm listening it for the first time. It was like. It's freshening, and then it is helping me a lot. So I completed that, and I'm thinking if you can suggest me another sutta like that.
Actually, the one another way is that if you are able to recognize certain times that your mind is free from vitakka, your mind is free from any inner chatter. So you know,
yeah.
You got to promote that. You got to praise the mind. Okay, that is the area you got to promote. So that is the way that you need to live. That is the way you need to maintain yourself. So likewise, you got to promote that, the freedom from inner chatter. So if we are not recognizing that, then sometimes we can't promote it. We can't appreciate it. But the moment we are experiencing kind of freedom of inner chatter or absence of inner chatter, so that very moment if we can recognize, if we can appreciate, so that is being now somewhat enhanced, further developed, and being more appreciated. So more and more try to be in that freedom of inner chatter. Because I mean, the thing is, so if we don't recognize that moment, if we are not recognizing that little time period where the inner chatter is completely stopped, so then it is very difficult. But if we recognize it and if we promote it, appreciate it, then mind starts automatically, slowly be in that. And mind is very much like a little child. So when we are praising him, when we are sort of showing him the path, now slowly it starts being in that. So that is another area that we can use other than the Vitakka Santana Sutta, those five methods. So this is another thing. So that is why Buddha sometimes highlight. So spend your time with animitta. So without taking any signs to the mind. So typically mind is somewhat conditioned to pick signs. Whenever we see something, we are picking certain signs. Whenever we are hearing, we are picking certain signs, marks. So likewise, when we are using our faculties, we constantly gather information. But if we can minimize that, if seeing is just seeing, if hearing is just hearing, if sensing is just sensing, if cognizing is just cognizing, trying to keep the mind empty. And this is where that kind of an attitude being promoted. So the emptiness of the mind being promoted, the clarity of the mind being promoted. So you encourage that state. So you understand the value of that clarity. You understand the sort of unburdened state of the mind. You understand the unentangled nature of the mind, and you promote that. You appreciate that. So then the mind starts kind of bend towards that direction, inclined towards that direction. So that is the proper direction in a way. So Buddha sometimes sort of advised to kind of incline towards the Nibbana. So you got to incline towards Nibbana. Now here Nibbana means kind of a freedom from agitation, freedom from any kind of a burning, a freedom from any kind of an attachment, rather keeping the mind relaxed, more calm, quiet kind of a situation. But in the ultimate sense, we can say Nibbana is complete uprooting of greed, hatred, delusion. But before that, so we have to promote that path. We have to cultivate that path. So this is how we are appreciating in the present moment what is the Nibbana, what is the relaxed state, what is the unbound state, what is the unagitated state, and now we are promoting that state.
Yeah, Bhante, I think I have a long way to go to that stage. I'm still practicing.
No, the thing is, even fragrances may be available. Now, you know, in the practice, when we are continuing our practice, momentary, even a slight moment, or just few moments, sometimes, okay, we recognize, okay, there are no inner chatter. Now we appreciate that. Okay, now we understand, okay, this is the direction. This is what he mentioned. So likewise, so we start recognizing that state.
Yeah, but one day actually, mind didn't want to do anything, like even listen to Pana.
Mm-hmm.
It was like relaxing and staying away from things. But next day it was agitated. So I think I don't have developed enough equanimity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to grasp that and then try to keep it.
Mm.
So it was, when it loose, then I get really agitated. So, I think I had to practice equanimity toward that.
I think the continuous practice is the sort of the solution. And without allowing the mind to go on and on thinking, so another option is you are trying to be mindful of the present activity. Whatever the body is involved with, so you are bringing your attention to that activity so that mind is not wandering. So the wandering mind is actually promoting the inner chatter, promoting kind of an unrest or distress in the mind. Rather, we are very much like trying to be mindful and maintaining one's attention in a particular selected type of object, so that your mind is not being wandering.
Yeah, I'm practicing that, and then I realized that if it's really agitated, noting it, it helps me. Like,
yeah,
if I'm
yeah.
thinking too much, so I note that thinking.
Right.
And then it helped me to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes
yeah,
stop.
That's why, I mean, sometimes when you understand, okay, the thinking is going on, rather than being driven by the content of the thinking, I simply step back and say, okay, this is just thinking.
Yes.
So that's no problem. I mean, this is a very good technique, and you are, rather than promoting thinking, and you come out of that and you recognize, okay, this is merely thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, Bhante.
Tarvan Sarnai.
Thank you, Jennifer. Now, Bhante, you were talking about the Sotapanna and the various the idea of self, Sakkayaditti. Now, that at that level, it's a very early stages of spiritual development, no, Bhante. So that Sakkayaditti is obviously well understood by the person, but and that you mentioned there is a sense of that self still lingers. Would that be right if I said that?
Correct. Even though the Sakkayaditti is abandoned, the sense of I am is still available.
So when you say abandoned, what do you mean by that, Bhante?
No, that's why the Sakkayaditti is the gross wrong understanding that this body has a person. This whole different feelings are represent a person. This different perception, signs, marks is a person. Or say the creativity, intentions, various defilements or wholesome states of the mind. So this represent a person. So that wrong understanding is now abandoned. But
yes.
Altogether you still feel kind of a sense of I am living, I am there is I. Still I is available.
Because you also went through those the defilements today in the sutta. And there are some 16 or whatever, and you said that ultimately all those ultimately are abandoned only at the arhat level, because there are certain those streaks come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be right if I said
correct,
that?
Correct. So certain defilements, as you said, now we understand, but they are coming and going. It is not completely uprooted, but only at the arahant level we would be able to completely uproot them.
Because at the various stages of non-return and all these other stages, it gets less and less. But
correct.
At this first level, you can't expect the whole thing to go, because then you're not a sotapanna, you're beyond
yes.
that thing.
Yes. I mean,
and the other thing that I wanted to say was this sotapanna has to also fully understand the Four Noble Truths. Isn't that right? Have I got that correct in my mind? Or have I,
we can't, yeah, that's the thing. That we have to say, like, he understood the Four Noble Truths to some extent. And when one becomes a Sakadagami, he understood to a more higher extent. So likewise, that very understanding of the Four Noble Truths become greater and greater as one is progressing.
Right. So that's what I want to clear in my mind, because at this first stage, it's one has no doubt and one doesn't do these rites and rituals, because one is quite clear in that mind that you're not, you're not going to gain anything by all those things, and there is no doubt. But there is certain elements of self coming and going and the understanding of the Four Noble Truths is there, but it's not as strong as the other three stages. So
correct.
So it is an early stage. It's the early stage. You can't be at a very high level at that stage, but you have done a lot of purification to come to that level.
Correct. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. That's what I want to clarify. Thank you,
Bhante. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Darshika for the next question.
Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I'm Bhante. My question is, I would like you to explain more on anusteya kelas. But before that, my understanding is that when you're meditating, your mind goes into the emptiness and animitta state, and then you're watching because it's calm and quiet, and you're not getting a lot of thoughts or anything. The satya is good, samadhi is good, so it's more or less free. But I get these thoughts, mainly the thoughts, and they are then. I have inner chatter. So you were explaining before to another participant that inner chatter, you discourage at the initial state. But when you come to the animitta state, do you encourage inner chatter and just watch from outside, like outsider?
We can't say encouraged. If it happens naturally, then we are observing it. That while in the animitta state, the mind is not taking any signs and mind is fairly clean and empty, but we are trying to live in that in a more relaxed manner. It is not kind of a tightened, stressful type of manner, but rather very relaxed and unburdened kind of manner. So when we are promoting that relaxed or effortless attitude, now again the nimittas, again the various thoughts can appear in the mind. It is not that I am promoting inner chatter, rather when I am loosening the concentration, when I am more and more relaxing the grip, allowing the mind to be more free, then the inner chatter might begin, or the certain thoughts again start popping up, so that I am clearly noticing. Clearly noticing those thoughts, and I am simply abandoning them, and probably I can even understand what are the defilements underneath those thoughts. Now certain thoughts are coming, why these thoughts are coming? Is it due to conceit? Is it due to some sort of the sense of I am, the wrong belief that they are? So likewise we can little penetrate to these thoughts and see the exact reason of why they are coming. So that is another little point that we can highlight. But on the other hand, when these thoughts are coming, and I know that they are merely thoughts, and I simply allow them to pass by, and I am returning back to the animitta state.
So really my thoughts are mainly greed. So do anything special? Just watch them and allow them to go, because I'm ashamed to say that I had a lot of grief before and ignorance, but now they are getting less. But in this state, it's mainly the thoughts which are more like greed, like for nice food. It comes from nowhere, so I'm not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes. And there's also my daughter is getting married, and so I'm getting like this what do you call it? Things of nice things. So like, yeah, it's greed. So is there anything else I could do? Like, do I have to do asubha bhavana or
not necessary. I mean, with this very understanding, okay, this is greed, or this is other certain, still I have kind of an attachment towards that. Still I give some value to those, say, different food, and I still some kind of, say, inclination towards those tastes. So likewise, it's a kind of a very honest understanding. So what are the habits still this mind is going through? Because the asubha bhavana, actually the asubha bhavana is for eliminating the lust, But this is not really the lust, but this is a very subtle greed, actually.
So when you see at that point, you catch it there and think that it's greed, and you go back to the animate state, or you allow that to happen? That's what I'm asking, like inner chatter. So you allow it to, you're just watching how it talks, but it can't really, it comes as if like, okay, I'm like a big talker, to have a big chat. But as soon as you see that, then it goes into the animate state, back again, and it's cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So is it right, or I should allow it to just naturally flow?
No, naturally, I mean, not naturally flow, we can say. But the point is, now when you know there are certain thoughts coming up and it's talking about say something desirable, and you step back and watch it like it is not yours, and you simply step back and watch it. Now you are not promoting it, because in order for this inner chatter to continue, you have to have some sort of a strength coming from your side. But now we are not strengthening that. Simply, we completely separated from that, and we are like witnessing it. We are not promoting it. And we actually not even appreciating it. And we basically don't have any kind of delight in this inner chatter. Rather, we are not promoting it, and we are not appreciating it. And we prefer to be free from that. So that very proper adjustment available in the mind helps to overcome that. And as you said, it is, I mean, we should not kind of suppress it either. It is not that forceful suppression.
Sometimes it's so subtle that I'm really tricked by whether I'm thinking or whether it's really coming, but I'm watching it. So is it okay if I say, Mambadaneme mage, daneme mage, atme daneme, and like,
right.
Is it okay if I use that term?
Only if you feel that the very observation is not enough. So most of the time, this very observation, if the mindfulness is fairly strong, that very observation is enough to fade off the this inner chatter. But if you feel that I have observed that for a considerable period of time, still it is continuing. So time to time, you probably can strengthen your observation, your understanding, by telling, okay, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not myself.
Because sometimes it's so subtle that I can't differentiate whether I'm going into prapancha. That's why, because it comes so strong. But as soon as I keep watching, it stops. Like it can't. It says like it sudden. It has no strength to go on. But sometimes, so then only I use that term. So I just wanted to ask whether. Alright, okay. Thank you very much,
Bhante.
I understood it very well.
Okay. Actually, the other practices like walking meditation or any other body related practices also might help, because sometimes direct watching of mind, sometimes if it is not helpful, because our mindfulness is weaker at that time, the clear comprehension could be weaker at that time. So probably we can switch back to a body-related practice like Kaya Anupassana. Then we are again strengthening the mindfulness and clear comprehension. And again, we are diverting our attention to the body. And that also helps to overcome the inner chatter.
My walking meditation also, it's the same. Because I do more walking, I prefer more walking because I have pain. But I do, I prefer walking, and that also I have the same problem. So both are in the same state.
I see. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Terwan Sannai. Okay, I think there are no more questions. Isn't it, Jennifer? Then we can wind up the session.
Yes, Sanjay. Fine. No more
questions. Fine. So today also we have gathered here and discussed some aspects of the Dhamma. all the merits that we have accumulated. We'll share with all the past relatives. We'll share with all the celestial beings. And we'll share with all the beings who are in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path fruition Nibbana. Ettavata cham hehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cham hehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cham hehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddhika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddhika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasatta ca bhummatta devanaga mahiddhika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita humtu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita humtu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita humtu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Sadang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.